And actually, just two statements before I, or one statement before I go into this. For those of you who were here related to the environmental tobacco smoke, somebody mentioned the Maine project using the indoor environments program's secondhand smoke program. We do have a booth here. It's 1333, and we have information on all of our programs. So if you're interested in broadening that community pledge, all our materials are free. They're made so you can put your own logos on them and do other things. So since I would be remiss not to plug that, that it's here. So I'm here to talk about the Building Assessment Survey and Evaluation Study, which is called BASE. And it's a I'm here to talk about some ways to apply it. It's a resource for public health officials and policymakers. How do I move forward? This? Okay. I have no relationships to disclose. I'm with the federal government. I guess that is a relationship in itself, but but none related to the things APHA wanted me to disclose. This has been talked about several times in different ways. This is why we care about the indoor air in the first place. We spend a lot of time indoors. We've shown that pollutant levels are higher indoors than outdoors, often higher than indoors. There's a high economic cost in the United States due to indoor air quality issues, and it has been identified as one of the top five environmental risks. Getting quickly into BASE itself. BASE was a cross-sectional study designed to define key characteristics of indoor air quality in office buildings across the continental United States. It was conducted between 94 and 98. It was put together by a group of experts all from all over the country who established what parameters we should look for. The contractor on that was the company of my previous speaker, and we lucked out. In reality, it is very rare for a governmental agency to be able to fund a study like this, especially out of a policy office, which we are. And we lucked out in that we were able to keep the same contractor. And in fact, one person did all of our preliminary visits for this study over the whole five-year period. And we had three people at EH&E who were particularly associated with doing almost all of the testing across the country over 5 years. So it was very well done in the sense of consistency and in the sense of bringing in the experts to define it. We went to 100 randomly selected office buildings. They had at least 50 employees, and they could not have any highly publicized IAQ problems. One of the running jokes was this, is back in the day, the Waterside building at EPA was a highly publicized building. It could not have been used in the BASE study. We went to cities of over 100,000 or greater, and we did environmental sampling at three randomly selected indoor sites and one outdoor site close to the outdoor air intake. And in some cases, that was actually interesting. In some cases, that's on the roof. In some cases, it's on the side of buildings. It's very interesting seeing all this equipment go up and down. The study was done back in the day. Whenever you had a problem in a building, the only thing you had to compare it to was another problem building. There was no typical, there was no normal. So this study was done to fill that gap. It was done to find out what's going on in the normal building. Like I said, it was a very comprehensive study. We collected a lot of core parameters. I don't necessarily expect you to be able to read that. If you, on our website and on and down at our booth, we have brochures and data discs that you can pick up if you're interested in knowing what that is. It's also on our website. We did environmental monitoring for a lot of different pollutants and contaminants and comfort factors. We also did a survey of the buildings themselves through walk around, through questionnaires, through other things of the management on the characteristics of the buildings, the air handling systems, the filtration systems, etc., how they operate the buildings, the times that they're in there. We also did an occupants questionnaire to find out about symptoms, pre-existing conditions, stressors, and that kind of thing. So it's a lot of comprehensive data. The pictures there are just some of the equipment that we dragged all around the country for those years. And the back of somebody's head testing of the ventilation system and some other things. The goals of the study, like I said, there was no baseline information characterizing these buildings. So that was one of the primary goals. We also wanted to be able to examine some of the relationships between the parameters and occupant perceptions and symptoms. We wanted to establish some important information on indoor air parameters and policy decisions and guidance development. That's kind of what I'm going to talk about today, how we have initially been doing that, how this system can be used for that, or not the system, the study. We wanted to also standardize the methodology and protocols. We used a standardized method that was developed to collect data from all of the buildings across the country. There were slight tweaks done as we learned things, but for the most part, it's very standardized. And that standardized method has been published, and it has been used internationally and nationally by different organizations and altered slightly for problem investigations versus what we were doing, which was not hypothesis-driven, which was not looking for a problem. And it's been used in several places. And also the questionnaire was related to the health hazard evaluation questionnaire that is used by NIOSH. So we've been able to intermingle things very well, and that's been very helpful for establishing future things, and it makes it so other building studies can be compared. And it's also been arranged for at least one housing study that I know of. So it's been very useful in that way. And we also wanted to have the scientific professional communities to advance knowledge and improve practices, which is what we say on every study. Now, just getting into BASE as a resource tool. This is why I wanted to come here and sit and talk to you all about this data. It is raw data, though we do have some information summarized, and we do have some publications on our website. But the data itself is raw data. It is available. It is packaged. And they sealed it. Okay. It is packaged. It is on a disk. And all of the raw data is there, including some summary sheets and some background information. So the data is there for anyone to use. Then we summarize it. Certain summaries are done. Certain studies have been done. They're on the website. And there's a lot of us at the government who spend our time taking all of this and writing it in governmentalese so that policymakers can use it. So one of the things that you can use it for, policymakers and standard setters can develop reference levels, developing guidance documents and input. Recently, with the large movement in the Green Buildings movement, which is sometimes discussed, sometimes health is not always included. Indoor environmental health is not always included, or it's included, but nobody really knows what it means. So they say, you know, you have to have low VOCs, but they don't exactly know what that means or how low they should be. So this study is helping us to input into those kind of standards. For building owners and managers, a lot of the summarized data you're able to use to look at typical versus a sick building comparison or a building-related symptom comparison, I think is where we call it now, and to make contrast between building types. This is all large commercial office buildings, but they are slightly different in how they're built, how their ventilation systems work, or et cetera. We've also, looking at researchers and engineers, we've developed some hypotheses. We're a source of exposure information on a lot of issues, including particulates and other things, which we're getting deeper into right now, and input for risk and exposure models and scenarios. One of the things we're doing is working with some of the other areas of the agency that do outdoor work, who now more and more want to associate to indoor the comparative risk and the combined risk. And so this is going to help identify how certain things are behaving in the indoor environment, how things are different in the indoor environment. And for industrial hygienists and other building investigators, and I didn't put it up there, but lawyers use this as well, to establish the basis for comparisons or if you're IDing abnormalities in your buildings for further investigation. So what I wanted to do is just give you a couple examples of real-world examples of how we're applying it real quickly. One thing that we've got is we've done a database on typical or baseline levels of organic chemicals indoors. It's a compilation of about 14 large studies or moderate studies, BASE being the largest. It's the basis of it. It's the data that was the foundation of it. But there are some other studies, a couple in California and otherwise, that were done on buildings. We've looked through the data. We've gotten the raw data from those studies, and we've crunched the data all the same way. So what's in this database that we've created is an ability to establish what are typical organic chemical levels in buildings based on all of these studies across the country that are now all crunched in the same way. Because we all know, you know, each person does their study, they crunch it differently, whatever, and you're trying to compare apples and oranges. We wanted to try to make all of the apples and oranges apples, or oranges, depending on which you prefer. So we've done that. It's been put into a database. And we've done all the analysis based on the analysis plan that was done for BASE, because it was the largest of the studies. And we've gotten some guidance levels. And we're starting to meet with some other organizations within EPA. For example, the Office of Solid Waste has some guidance reference levels for indoor chemicals based on vapor intrusion. And you know, their numbers are there. They based it on different theoretical things and other things. Now we want to compare what we've actually gotten to those numbers and how that works with the cross some studies. And so we're going to be talking to them. And other organizations are also interested in it, Office of Pollution Prevention and Toxics and other groups. So this is how it's being used. This database will also be publicly available as soon as I get back to work and finish the release plan, but it will also be out there for people to get, and it's being used in one place. ASHRAE has a building design guide. It's being looked at as a background resource for that. So this is the kind of thing that we're doing with the data. We've done some work on ozone and building-related systems. LBNL, I guess I should have mentioned that previous work was done by RTI. Research Triangle Institute on that previous work. The ozone and building-related symptoms work is being done by LBNL, where they've looked at BASE data against outdoor ozone levels. We did not collect ozone levels in our study, but they were able to go back and identify locations and find the ozone levels outdoors, because they collect those outdoors. And they did a epidemiological study looking at the ozone levels and building-related symptoms. And they were able to link significantly some upper respiratory irritation, irritation of eyes, nose, throat, and skin, headache, and fatigue. And they saw a linear relationship between the ozone and the building-related symptoms. Now, this is all preliminary. This has all been early studies. But one application that could mean is that possibility that in large buildings we need to have an implementation of ozone scrubbers put into the filtration systems. Maybe that would help with, just like we were just talking about for the homes, the induct systems. Maybe this will help reduce some of the symptoms and the health impacts of indoor air quality. Again, making changes to adapt to the things that are happening around us in the world. We've also done a preliminary analysis in which they saw that there were different changes due to the filtration systems, the types of filters, whether they were synthetic or fiberglass or otherwise. This work is just happening. It's new. It's very preliminary. But again, it may be implications towards the type of filtration that needs to be had in buildings and things, especially in high ozone levels areas. We've also got work using for building comparisons, where we've got the VOC information and looking at, we've collected a broad range of VOCs. They are speciated. And so by looking at where the VOC level is, you can compare it to where it is in buildings. And we've got several different organizations that have done that. We've also used the VOC information, which includes formaldehyde information. They used it as part of the data that went behind some of the work of establishing levels that are being looked at for the future FEMA issues and things like that. So it's another place where the database itself has been used as a resource for future information. The other thing is for future work, we're looking at the impacts of climate change, the indoor environments. With climate change, people may be coming indoors more to get a lower energy conservation. They may be decreasing ventilation. because of the things that are suspected to be occurring within climate change, increases in indoor chemicals, biological pollutants, and other things, there may be more things indoors. You may be using more pesticides if you have more creatures inside. And there may be more interactions. There may be, or we've already seen, an increase in some flooding and other types of activities, increasing moisture control and that kind of thing. So we're looking at base data to see what's been normal, how have things been done. For example, in the base data, we already see that like 50% of the buildings had current water damage. So water damage is an important issue to try to keep up with. And also, you may be increasing your indoor time, so knowing how buildings are run. For additional information on any of this, you can go to our website. That the first one is the website for the division, for the indoor environments division. The second one is for base, and the third one is my email, which is completely full, but feel free. Thank you.